Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, How Countries Go Broke, The Big Cycle Principles, by Ray Dalio explores the recurring patterns that drive nations from stability to financial strain and, in extreme cases, to sovereign debt crises. Drawing on Dalio's long-standing interest in macroeconomic history and his principles framework, the book presents a systems-level way to think about public debt, money creation, inflation and deflation, interest rate dynamics, and the political decisions that shape economic outcomes. Rather than treating each crisis as unique, it emphasizes the repeatable mechanics behind boom periods, leverage buildups, tightening conditions, and eventual policy trade-offs that can erode confidence in a country's currency and bonds. The focus is not only on economics, but also on incentives, governance, and social pressures that influence how leaders respond when obligations outgrow sustainable revenues. Readers are guided to recognize warning signs earlier and to understand why even wealthy countries can face acute funding stress when the cycle turns. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the big cycle of debt and the path to sovereign stress. A central idea is that countries tend to move through a big debt cycle in which borrowing rises faster than the underlying capacity to service it. Early in the cycle, debt can appear manageable because growth, tax receipts, and easy credit conditions support repayment. Over time, compounding interest costs, demographic pressures, and political commitments expand the gap between what governments promise and what they can reliably fund. The book frames this as a systems problem. Policy choices, market psychology, and institutional constraints interact, pushing countries toward a narrowing set of options. As debt grows, refinancing becomes more sensitive to changes in interest rates and investor confidence. Even small shifts in yields can dramatically change budget math, especially when maturities are short and rollovers are frequent. Dalio's approach highlights that what matters is not only the absolute level of debt, but the currency it is issued in, who holds it, and whether the central bank can act as a backstop. The discussion encourages readers to see sovereign stress as a process rather than a sudden event, with identifiable stages such as rapid credit expansion, tightening financial conditions, fiscal strain, and eventual restructuring, inflationary financing, or austerity-driven adjustment. Secondly, money, credit, and the inflation versus austerity trade-off. When a government's obligations outpace its revenues, leaders face a limited menu of responses: cut spending, raise taxes, restructure liabilities, or create money to cover gaps. The book explains why these choices are rarely purely economic. They are political, distributional, and often constrained by social tolerance. Austerity can stabilize debt dynamics but may depress growth and provoke unrest, reducing the very tax base needed to service obligations. Monetary financing can postpone default but can weaken currency value and, if overused, ignite inflation, which acts like a hidden tax on holders of cash and fixed income assets. Dalio's cycle lens clarifies the conditions under which inflationary outcomes become more likely, including supply shocks, loss of confidence, and situations where policymakers prioritize nominal stability of debt servicing over real purchasing power. The text also underscores that inflation and deflation risks coexist, depending on how credit contracts, how fast money is created, and how private sector deleveraging interacts with government balance sheets. This topic equips readers to evaluate policy responses not as isolated headlines, but as levers in a connected machine, where the distribution of pain and the credibility of institutions determine whether markets cooperate or demand higher compensation for risk. Thirdly, reserve currencies, capital flows, and the confidence game. The book emphasizes that a country's ability to sustain high debt depends heavily on external demand for its currency and bonds. Nations that borrow in their own widely trusted currency typically have more flexibility, including the ability to extend maturities, refinance at lower rates, and rely on central bank support. However, that flexibility is not unlimited because it rests on confidence. If investors believe a government will dilute value through inflationary finance or politically driven interference, they may demand higher yields or diversify away, weakening the currency and raising import costs. Dalio often links financial outcomes to capital flows. When domestic savings are insufficient, countries rely on foreign investors who can reverse course quickly. The book explains how current account deficits, deteriorating competitiveness, and geopolitical tensions can accelerate these reversals. It also highlights that reserve currency status is an advantage, but not a guarantee of perpetual cheap funding. Trust is reinforced by credible institutions, rule of law, predictable policy, and economic dynamism, and it can be eroded by repeated fiscal dominance or unstable governance. Readers learn to watch indicators such as real interest rates, foreign holdings, currency trends, and the narrative around policy credibility, because shifts in perception can be as decisive as changes in the underlying data. Fourthly, politics, social conflict, and policy choices under stress. Economic crises do not unfold in a vacuum. The book ties fiscal deterioration to social and political dynamics that shape what is feasible. As budgets tighten, distributional conflicts intensify because different groups fight to protect their income, assets, and entitlements. This can lead to polarization, short-term policymaking, and a preference for measures that delay pain rather than resolve imbalances. Dalio's framework connects rising inequality, declining trust in institutions, and populist pressures to the likelihood of policy errors. Under stress, governments may adopt capital controls, financial repression, or regulatory changes that alter the investment landscape. They may also shift spending priorities toward immediate relief, defense, or subsidies, which can stabilize politics temporarily while worsening long-run debt sustainability. The book's cycle perspective suggests that the most dangerous moments occur when leaders lose room to maneuver and must choose between economically painful austerity and credibility. Damaging monetary finance. It also emphasizes the role of institutional strength. Countries with transparent budgeting, independent monetary authorities, and adaptable political systems tend to manage stress better than those with weak governance. For readers, this topic provides a practical lens for assessing country risk by looking beyond GDP and debt ratios to the political capacity for reform and the social cohesion needed to sustain it. Lastly, practical signals and decision frameworks for investors and citizens. A key value of the book is its attempt to translate macro history into usable checklists and cause and effect thinking. Rather than forecasting with a single number, it encourages readers to weigh probabilities and observe feedback loops. Practical signals include the trajectory of interest costs relative to revenues, the maturity profile of debt, the extent of foreign currency liabilities, and whether growth is driven by productive investment or consumption financed by borrowing. The book also points to the importance of real rates, inflation expectations, and central bank credibility, because these shape the cost of refinancing and the willingness of investors to hold long-duration government bonds. For individuals, the framework can inform personal and portfolio resilience by encouraging diversification across currencies, geographies, and asset types, especially in environments where policy responses may be inflationary. Citizens and business owners can also use the ideas to anticipate changes in taxation, regulation, and capital mobility that often accompany fiscal stress. The larger message is to think in systems. If deficits widen, markets reprice risk, and policymakers respond with interventions, second-order effects follow, such as currency depreciation, rising import prices, and shifts in political sentiment. By focusing on mechanisms, readers can make clearer decisions without relying on simplistic narratives. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a coherent way to understand sovereign debt crises without needing a graduate-level economics background, including investors, policymakers, executives, students of history, and curious citizens who follow markets and public policy. It benefits the reader's life by turning intimidating macro headlines into a set of repeatable relationships: how deficits become debt, how debt interacts with interest rates, how confidence affects capital flows, and how political incentives shape the ultimate resolution. That understanding can improve everyday decisions, from evaluating inflation risk and borrowing costs to thinking more clearly about long-term savings, business planning, and geographic diversity. Compared with many books that focus on a single episode or offer ideological prescriptions, this one aims to be more diagnostic and pattern-based. The emphasis on cycles, constraints, and trade-offs makes it easier to compare countries and periods on a consistent basis, while the principal style encourages structured thinking rather than reactive opinions. For buyers, the value lies in a portable framework you can reuse whenever conditions change, making it a practical addition alongside standard macroeconomics and finance titles. If you would like to support Ray Dalio, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.